out of a disordered soup, in the inherent darkness of primordial form, life was wrought by chance on Fortune's anvil. From there, it was hardened by the forge of evolution. Why are we telling you this? Because we are, in our own way, evolving. We careen through the medium of thought, rivulets of intention, each changing course with the topography of the oft-restless geography that we call culture. It is in this brutal jungle of memetics that we find ourselves piercing through with a machete of adaptivity, and in the process, creating greater and loftier works of art, each embarrassing the other with the pride of novel creation that the splendor of evolution is heir to. Oh, weariness. Oh, joy. Was that flowery enough?
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I couldn't even hold it in there. I was about to break out laughing. I literally had to stifle that laugh.
So was it good?
Yeah, it was. It was something else. You know, I think honestly, it was probably a little over the top. You could probably afford to kick it down just a notch.
Either way, we have another minisode for you today.
Just to clarify, are we still sticking with the name minisode?
Yes.
The following clips are not studio quality recordings. They are on-site discussions.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new minisode.
I'm very, very excited about this one. This is our second minisode. Perhaps our listeners are now seeing a pattern.
Yes, the patterns that we release minisodes.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially, I have some fun things to tell our listeners. We now actually, we have purchased a brand new microphone.
That's why we sound better.
Yes, our previous minisode, you may have realized, was done on just our computers, our Apple computers, our MacBook Pro from 2012.
Yep, and now we have a microphone from 2017.
Yes, so we are very excited and we are happy that we can now provide better sound quality. Now, we're not in studio right now. We're in my room at home, but that's okay.
Yes, it's a studio of sorts. We'll call it that.
Yeah. Now, with this minisode, we're very excited. See, we want to talk about our next episode. Our next episode is going to be about something called evolutionary algorithms.
Yes, and we're excited about this one because, Gabriel, do you want to tell them about the project?
You know, I certainly would be. So you guys may know, if you've read my biography on the Breaking Math website, that I'm currently a graduate student in electrical engineering, and I have relied very, very strongly on Jonathan as my tutor for computer science. Jonathan has his degree in computer science. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Jonathan. Go ahead.
I was going to say I do. I wasn't going to say anything of value.
Oh, no, it's quite right. Yes, he does. And of course he's the one who's designed many of the applets, on our page, like the Hypercube or the other Chaos applets, which are very, very cool. Now,
and if you haven't checked out the Hypercube, check it out.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, our last minisode was all about Hypercubes. Without further ado, our next episode is about, something that I'm doing for my master's degree project. It is on evolutionary algorithms. This is a topic that excites me greatly. You heard in the intro, the flowery intro that Jonathan did, it was all about Darwinian evolution. In recent years, that has been a really, really big thing in the world of computer programming. Jonathan, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. When computing started, it was largely mathematically inspired. After a while, it became inspired by physics, and as computing got more complicated, it was inspired by biology. Now, evolutionary algorithms go back to the 1960s, and they work on the same process as natural evolution. You get a bunch of specimens, give them the ability to breed with one another, and just rate them by how good they are, and let nature take course, basically, but on a computer.
Yes, and this is something that I was thrilled to learn about, and the fact that I got to implement this in my electrical engineering master's degree has been one of the most thrilling things that I've done so far. Now, real quick, there are many resources available for a layman or for somebody who's not familiar with an evolutionary algorithm. There's an antenna that was designed for a spaceship that NASA used, the Space Technology 5 mission, the ST-5 mission that launched in 2006, had an evolved antenna. Now, why was it that they had an evolved antenna as opposed to just a regular antenna?
It's because, I mean, a lot of this is your field, and you realize that obviously antennas are difficult to design.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking for, you know, on behalf of people who don't know. Yes, I know the answer, of course.
Oh yeah. I mean, with antennas, you have directions that matter, a lot of design parameters. And when you're dealing with something that requires a lot of design parameters, why not have the computer just design it for you?
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, for our listeners, I think the first article that I read a long time ago was actually the Wikipedia article on evolved antennas. It has some great pictures. An evolved antenna does not look like a regular antenna. The way I described it is it looks like maybe, say, a wire coat hanger was ran over by a truck a few times.
Yeah, pretty much. It looks like something drawn by Dr. Seuss.
Yes, or you know, it's fractal. You know, like and it's not to be confused with a fractal antenna. So basically, it's a wire antenna, but it has unpredictable angles and turns. And it's something that a human probably, in all likelihood, would not design. However, what's fascinating about an evolved antenna is it does something that no other antenna does. When you're creating an evolutionary algorithm, we know that in Darwinian evolution, it works on the principle of survival of the fittest, or rather the species that can survive long enough to reproduce and can do so with the most success will have the longest, will have the greatest, I'm sorry.
The more genes passed on.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble describing that. Now, with an evolved antenna, it's slightly different. What you start off with is you make an evolutionary algorithm that's based on being able to describe an antenna with numbers in a matrix or in an array, and then
basically you start out with a description of what it is. That's called the genotype. And the way that you translate, okay, so there's the difference between a blueprint and a house. The house would be the phenotype. The blueprint would be the genotype.
Mm-hmm.
And you give these the ability to breed with one another. And with the project that Gabriel's doing, it's circuits breeding with one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think before we talk any more about evolution algorithms, shout out to Bangalore.
Oh my gosh! Yes, Bangalore. Yeah, we just saw you guys pop up on our data just this last week. Jonathan and I purchased the what do you call it?
SoundCloud Premium Pro.
Yes.
Unlimited, something like that.
Previously, you know, as you guys know, we release on iTunes as well as on SoundCloud. When you upgrade your SoundCloud storage, you get access to a lot more information. We found out the specific cities that have been downloading Breaking Math episodes. And we found this very, very exciting. Our number one city overall, of course, is our hometown. What's up, Albuquerque?
No, it's Bangalore.
Number one? Oh my goodness. Let's pull that up, shall we?
Yes. Well, while he's pulling that up, I'm going to give you a few facts about Bangalore that we learned. It's been settled for over 6,000 years. It's had burial ground for 3,000 years. And its modern history can be traced back for 500 years, so it has a lot of history.
My goodness. So how far away is Bangalore? I mean, we know it's in India, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it's in the bottom. It's like in the tip of India at the bottom as part of, I want to say, Mysore. I don't know how to say that. It's like a state of India.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm butchering this.
Okay, goodness, yeah. You know what would be awesome is if a few of our listeners in Bangalore gave us a shout-out on Facebook. I mean, I'm not going to... I don't know. We'd love for you guys who listen to us, we'd love to hear about your cities. I mean, we are really honored with the fact that, you know, we are being played in other cities, and we'd love to hear from you guys.
And, of course, one city that tied with our hometown is Davidson, North Carolina.
Davidson, North Carolina. Yes.
Population of 10,000.
Yes. You know, and in preparation for this podcast, we thought, you know what, since we have some listeners in Davidson, North Carolina, let's learn a little bit about that town. And
so we Googled Davidson, and you guys actually have a usable government website.
Can we just give a hats off to the website and the web designers of Davidson? We are very, very impressed with your website. We've had a lot of other websites that, frankly speaking, appear as though they're designed by someone in the government.
Yes, and one thing that I bet everybody in Davidson loves doing with your 23 Rhodes Scholars in your history since the 1830s, chilling out on Lake Norman. Is that a thing you do? I don't know if that's a thing you do.
I know. Dude, 23 Rhodes Scholars, that's extremely impressive. Okay, so let's again, in case any of our listeners are less familiar, a Rhodes Scholar is...
It's like a scholarship that's been given out since 1905.
Okay, right. And, you know, for instance, if we were to compare it to somewhere else, we have...
Well, they only give out like 3 a year. Some years they don't give out one.
Wow. So Davidson, North Carolina, wow, you guys are extremely educated and extremely cultured. So...
That's... So yeah, we're happy to have you. Yeah. Yeah. So back to evolutionary algorithms.
Oh, right, right. And oh, you know what? Sorry, if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt. We also noticed on our SoundCloud stats, we've got some listeners in Wisconsin, in Melrose, Wisconsin. What's going on, Melrose? How you doing? We also have some listeners in Washington, D.C. We were thrilled with that. So all of our listeners, again, we'd love some interaction. We'd love to learn more about your town. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing about Albuquerque, where we record, is we have green chili that Colorado stole from us. Sorry, Colorado listeners.
Okay. You know, and again, I'm not trying to start anything here, you know. And,
I am.
Okay. You know, yeah. I was going to say, I'm not trying to start anything, but Colorado clearly stole green chili from New Mexico. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Green chili is ours, and yeah. It always will be.
You know, one more thing on the green chili thing. So I've spoken to a lot of folks who are new here, and, you know, a lot of folks have heard of green chili. You know, so if you can search for it online and search New Mexico green chili, it's a plant. It looks like a shriveled, like a pickle.
It's an immature chili plant.
Yes. So it looks like a shriveled, how would you describe it? Almost like a bell pepper.
Yeah, like a if you took a straw and took all the air out of a bell pepper.
Yes, exactly. And it's known for its spice, and it adds a lot of flavor to food. We actually put green chili on everything. By the way,
including ice cream and brittle.
Okay, for the record, I've never put green chili on my ice cream. But
oh, no, but they make green chili ice cream.
You know, but I know that we're trying really hard to let other folks know what Albuquerque, New Mexico is known for besides the show Breaking Bad. Yeah, well, we also have green chili, and we are home of a baseball team called the Isotopes, and we are named after a Simpsons episode.
Yes. But yeah, ready to talk about the evolutionary algorithm?
Thank you. I'm so sorry. Yes. Okay. It's okay. Yes. Yes. So, we're not going to go into great detail here. We thought it would be really neat after I defend my master's thesis, we'd actually like to do an entire, we were talking about doing a longer episode all about evolutionary algorithms. So in general, you know, when you have the ability to describe something or to model it in a computer with numbers, you can model a variety of things like antennas, and you can even have a successful way of breeding them, and it's very simple. You just have a couple.
So what's a problem that you're trying to solve with this?
Oh, that's a good question. Why do we have an evolutionary algorithm? So I think when you do your research on evolutionary algorithms, they say that these are really good for nonlinear problems where it's very difficult to think of a traditional or a straightforward solution. And because this problem is approached iteratively and slowly over time, it'll have a very good solution. It may not have the optimal solution because the optimal solution may be pretty much impossible to arrive at.
Yeah, and those are the kind of problems. You don't want to solve something that's very linear with an evolutionary algorithm. It's not very efficient.
Let's give you guys some concrete examples here.
You had the example of you can actually find this on YouTube. Google evolutionary algorithm clocks.
Oh my goodness, there's a phenomenal video on YouTube. There's a gentleman who wrote an evolutionary algorithm that started with I think it was just a couple of base parts, you know.
Oh yeah, he had stoppers, gears, hands, and levers.
Okay, and I wonder if we should actually find his name. You know, we could give him a shout out.
I'll find it. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So what's wonderful about this example is essentially he shows that when you start with some basic components and some basic rules, like these parts have an affinity for each other. You can have, you know, like the pendulum, or, you know, like be attracted to a gear, things like that.
CDK007.
Okay. Yeah. So actually we are giving a shout out to the YouTube profile, CDK007. We were very, very impressed with your evolutionary algorithm. And what's also really cool is, so when you start with these basic parts, he describes it. It's a gentleman, yes?
I think so.
Okay, I need to clarify that. He says that these parts have an affinity for each other. That is to say, a gear will be attracted to a rod, but it's attracted to all of it, not one specific. specific part. Like there's nothing in this evolutionary.
It's very undirected.
Yes, yes. And that is so important to say in this because evolution itself is an undirected process.
And of course, the problem that you're trying to solve has to do with voltage patterns.
Yes, that's mine for circuits. So real quick, on this YouTube video, you get to watch over time how clocks and very, very high functioning clocks evolve over time. It's a lot of time, and you even have this massive, massive age of pendulums where the only kind of functional clock you have are pendulums. But when, you know, chance happens and you have a very unlikely event of a gear breeding in the right spot and you've got the right mutation, you know, after several generations, you'll have the correct parts suddenly emerge where you can have a fully functional clock.
It really is cool. You rate these clocks by how clocky they are.
Yes, there's some criteria. Now, I think one of the differences between Darwinian evolution and this evolution is clearly this evolution, this program is selecting specifically for a clock. Now,
yeah, think of it like breeding sheep from the stuff that sheep used to be. If you've ever seen a picture of the animal that sheep are derived from, they have long hair, they don't have wool, and they're not very dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there's actually a lot of examples of evolutionary algorithms, not only the clock. I think, so...
Neural networks.
Yes, neural networks use those all the time. I'm less familiar, other than seeing the massive quantities of research on neural networks, I'm a little bit less familiar with them as a whole. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Neural networks are a way of coming up with nonlinear solutions to things. A neural network, for example, a certain type of neural network called a convolutional neural network works on pictures. And if you've ever seen Google's deep learning algorithms on pictures, if you've ever seen a really trippy looking picture with like a dog where a nose should be or something like that, that's produced by a neural network.
Now, the obvious thing is this. So the term neural networks, it is named after our neurons.
Oh, yeah. They're designed after a simplified version of a neuron.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, again, it's the same idea as in some sense trying to approximate the way that humans think as opposed to the way machines think for things like learning about the world and having other models that are helpful.
Well, the thing about neurons and why they're a good model for this is because they're neurons, or just nerves in general, are used for extremely weird different purposes. There are neurons that regulate heartbeats, for example, and those are completely different in structure than the neurons that regulate, for example, concrete thought, even though they work in about the same way. They work, basically you have a bunch of neurons connected to a neuron. They have a little bit of electricity. When the electricity reaches more than a certain level, the neuron pulses. That's all it does. And with this, you're able to listen to this podcast.
Yes, I find that to be one of the most fascinating topics. You know, there's a problem in trying to talk about human consciousness that is oftentimes referred to as the hard problem. And again, it's so hard for us to really comprehend human consciousness because, again, a single neuron is not conscious.
So, another, yeah, and yeah, that kind of tells you a lot about evolutionary algorithms and a lot about the circuits that we're designing with Gabriel's project.
Yes.
They are designed to simulate, or not simulate, to output a specific voltage signal. And they use capacitors, resistors, and inductors towards this goal.
Yeah, yeah.
But another thing I think that we need to talk about is our future podcast endeavors.
Oh, you know, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. So I thought it was very important to address this issue in our minisode. So we have created a series of episodes with Breaking Math so far. And of course, you can listen to our episodes 1 through 9. I'm sorry.
7.
I'm sorry. Thank you. 1 through 7. I'm getting ahead of myself. And you can see clearly what we're about so far. I think it's very important to tell our listeners where we want to go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we have a podcast that's going to be coming out in about a month called Teacher Feature.
Yes. We actually have another podcast altogether, one that is separate currently from Breaking Math.
Although now, it'll be on the same channel.
Yeah. Now, since this is a mini-sode, I'm excited because this is a quick chance where instead of delving into a single topic, you know, a single mathematical topic, we can talk about more or less about why we choose these topics and about what else we're doing. Now, we mentioned that we're doing another podcast, and yes, the podcast is called Teacher Feature. I want to back up for just a little minute and tell you guys where this came from. So Breaking Math itself, oh goodness, it's already 19 minutes.
Yeah. We won't take too much more of your time.
Thank you. No, we will not. We're going to keep this guy really, really short. It'll be under 25 minutes guaranteed. So in planning for Breaking Math, one thing we realized is why is it that we got very passionate about mathematics to begin with? Well, and I think for a lot of us, we had great, great teachers. And as we began to talk about these teachers and what inspired our love for mathematics, we thought, you know, it would be really great to actually talk about education. Now, we came up with the name Teacher Feature because obviously the name is pretty catchy and we like it. And also because of things like Facebook, we're in touch with a lot of our old teachers who have a prolific presence on social media. And that I think is wonderful. But with education, we are very passionate about that subject. And we believe that everybody should be passionate about it as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, we have a Patreon.
Oh, thank you.
Was that subtle enough?
Oh, that's right. So one other reason why we bring up the fact that we're doing another podcast on Teacher Feature is soon you guys are going to realize that this is going to be currently released on the same channel. We don't want to do that all the time. And I think that ideally we would have a separate channel for each of our podcasts, you know?
Yeah, but you know, it's there's hosting costs and stuff like that, so we wanted to tell you a little bit of incentives.
Yes.
For $5, you'll get early access to the podcasts and even a shout out on them.
Yes, absolutely. So again, if you go to patreon.com, that is a way to support us. And I gotta edit that quick part out. For $5, you do get a shout out. For $50, Jonathan Baca will create a customized personal Photoshop piece for you. Now, this is not for business. This is for personal.
It's for fun. This is part of my income, so I insist that it's not for business. But, you know, if you want, the world is your oyster.
Yes. Yeah. We could make you a phenomenal personalized poster. And in case you're wondering about Jonathan's quality of work, all of the work that's currently done on the Facebook page, the Photoshop is Jonathan's. And it's just gorgeous. I think it's phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah. And I do the covers for Breaking Math as well.
Yeah, he does. He's quite the artist, quite the Renaissance man. Now, we want to say that if we have a listener who wants to give more than if you want to give $100, then we'll allow you to collaborate on planning an entire mathematics podcast.
Yes, and the price is a little high, but we value our independence.
Yes. I'm sorry, I said mathematics podcast. An entire Breaking Math podcast episode, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, real quickly, though, I just wanted to add, we thought it might be most beneficial for our listeners and for us to be very explicit about why it is that we have a Patreon. Right now, we are two students, and we dedicate, I would say, right now on average between 5 and 10 hours a week on preparing for the Breaking Math episodes and the
online at least.
Yeah, 5 to 10, and we really enjoy it. We want to keep doing it, but not only do we want to keep doing it, we want to expand our SoundCloud account and have content every week instead of every other week, which we've already started, of course.
With these minisodes and pretty soon Teacher Feature.
I think Teacher Feature will be great. Oh, and you know what? I know we jumped around topics a little bit, and I'm sorry. I wish I had said this previously, but I'm just going to say it real quick. With education and with issues, there are fantastic, magical, amazing stories with education when it goes very well. And there's also very real struggles with education. There's a lot of people who in the education system have a really tough time, whether that be learning a topic like mathematics or science, or whether it's socially, because one size does not fit all.
Yeah, for example, yeah. The bad example is I had a not too good statistics teacher. And I did not have a positive view of statistics from the age of 12 to 16.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very good example. It can really turn you off of a subject as well. I have a lot of experience. Goodness, I have stories of when I was a brand new teacher. Do you guys know that teaching is hard? yes, it is. It is hard. My heart goes out to a lot of teachers, and learning the craft of how to become very effective at teaching is quite an uphill climb, but a very, very noble and worthy climb. So we wanted to have a podcast, and we wanted to be as real with our listeners as possible. Since we're all invested in education, we want to talk about both the amazing aspect and the absolute challenge is. Our first episode was great. We had my old high school English teacher who was an award-winning teacher.
Hey, he was awesome.
Yeah, he's got 30 years on him, so you'll hear that episode coming up soon. I think that we have it already recorded. We have to edit it. We also want to put together a beautiful website because our teacher, we really enjoyed his presence, and we want to put together a nice blog online. I think that'll probably, if we were to put a date, probably toward the end of May. I believe.
Yes. And if you've noticed a dearth of Facebook content, it's because we've been working very hard on this project.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Now, so we do appreciate, thank you for taking the time and listening to us as we talk about our Patreon and our goals for this podcast. I think there's one more thing I want to talk about though. I know. I realize that. On the last formal podcast, QED, we had a challenge for our listeners. The challenge was on a proof, a triangle proof. We gave you guys a problem to prove, and we are sitting on the solution. We have the solution.
Yes, and a little hint towards anybody who's working towards a solution, and it's harder than it looks, is imagine, I'm just going to give you this visual image and leave you with it. Imagine a ladder sliding down another ladder. Two ladders are on opposite sides of a room, and one of them is balanced on the other one, and you move the other. Just imagine that.
Okay. That, yeah, I like that proof. I'll tell you this. I was not able to solve the proof myself. You can find the proof. It's the last blog we have. Just go to breakingmath.com and look at the blogs.
Breakingmathpodcast.com.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I stand corrected. Just go to breakingmathpodcast.com and click on the blogs.
And we realize that we are at 26 minutes, still, please go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/breakingmathpodcast.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate your feedback, and we look forward to making great content for you guys. So this has been a Breaking Math minisode. Minisode?
Sure. And we're not reading this.
No, we're not. This is totally off the cuff.
Off the cuff it is. And be sure to turn in on Odd Tuesdays for full episodes of Breaking Math. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Gabriel.
And this has been made possible with the support of KUNM Generation Listen.